Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. We are right back with you in what has been a crazy, crazy 24 hours. Yesterday, we had the pleasure of speaking with Chip Williams all about the NBA draft. But today, I'm glad to welcome back probably my favorite beat writer when it comes to the Grizzlies, along with Chris Harrington and others. But from the Daily Memphian, Drew Hill has been kind enough to join us once again to talk about this crazy week. I know that he's busy on his end. So, Drew, we can't thank you enough for joining us. How are you, sir?
I am great. I'm ready for, honestly, I said this to you when we first got on the phone, like, I'm kind of ready for this week to be over with, not in like a bad way, because I hope that it gets exciting and it's exciting for Grizzlies fans, but just because, you know, yeah, kind of just sitting around waiting for the news and the anticipation is killing all of us. So I'm ready to like get through this week, get the draft over with, get free agency over with, and get ready to actually talk about some real basketball coming up. That's where I am right now.
I'm absolutely 100% there with you. I'm ready to talk about some real basketball as well. But I kind of want to apologize to our listeners, and the reason why that is because I'd kind of set the expectation out there. With it being a short time frame, you may not see as many major moves. You may not see the Grizzlies make as many moves, you know, that are going on. But evidently, I was wrong. There have been nothing but major moves and rumors so far, still with some to potentially come. You know, it's the NBA, this league, as they say, completely going on. Just your general take from all that's going on right now, Drew. I mean, does it surprise you in the least, or are you a bit surprised with how much moves we've already seen?
I don't know if it surprises me. I think it's interesting for sure. Like the Suns going out and making a move to get Chris Paul, to me, is really interesting from the Grizzlies standpoint, in that it seems like they were on somewhat of a similar trajectory. Devin Booker is a little bit older. He's been in the league a few years, but he's still a young player. And to go out and add a guy like Chris Paul, who's deep into his career at this point, it might be a move that works out really well for the Phoenix Suns, but it also kind of puts them on a different timetable, or at least jeopardizes that timetable than the Grizzlies. So, to me, that's very interesting to see. Will the Grizzlies just stay the course here and play the long game and wait for some of these teams to fall apart and then hopefully have their rise at the same at a different time? So that was interesting to me. If the Rockets move on from James Harden and Russell Westbrook, obviously if those guys go to the East in some way, that sort of takes the Rockets out of the playoff picture. So that's somewhat interesting for the Grizzlies as well. The moves are really interesting. Drew Holiday is now headed to the Milwaukee Bucks for a huge haul, which was a little surprising to me last night. So I would say that's the most surprising thing, if you're asking what's surprising, would be the fact that they got 3 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps for Drew Holiday. Even when you're trying to hold on to Giannis, I think that's a pretty steep price. It doesn't surprise me, but it's certainly interesting, and I don't know if these moves hurt the Grizzlies. I think they might help the Grizzlies a little bit, because it feels like some of the contending teams in the West are either getting on a different timetable as far as being good or moving on from stars, and those stars could be headed to the Eastern Conference. So that to me is the takeaway as a Grizzlies fan when you sort of look at the big picture.
And there are so many dynamics, you know, so many factors that you could look at. I mean, you've got the expanded playoffs, so that makes you kind of, you know, like your chances a bit better. You've got stronger teams, though, that are getting better and better in the West, so, you know, that may take away from it a little bit. You've also got teams, though, like the Rockets, who, you know, are kind of potentially not, you know, you see OKC and the Rockets falling out of, you know, being in playoff contention, but you see teams like Phoenix getting stronger. There's just so many different ways to look at it. Kind of in the end, though, you know, another thing that kind of plays into that is you see the prices that teams are having to play for players who are very good, but still are not all-stars. You know, to add a piece, you know, seems to be, you know, counterproductive for a team focused on the future like the Grizzlies. It just seems like, you know, the Grizzlies, you know, commitment to maybe staying the course, as you mentioned, and focusing on the future, in my opinion, it seems like that may still make the most sense, just seeing what you've got with the roster that you have. Do you think that's the smartest play to go with?
Yeah, I think so. And like you mentioned, like it, as I stated before, like just it's about timetable here, right? Like, you got to look at where the Grizzlies are and where everybody else stands, and for them staying the course here and a lot, like, you want to add, this is, I'm sure we'll get into this when it comes to the draft, but you want to add players that fit age-wise with the team, but you also want to realistically think about your window relative to everybody else. And so I think when you just sort of survey how everything else is playing out, you know, if you're the Grizzlies, you got to feel pretty good about your spot, I would think.
And on the flip side of that, another thing that, you know, kind of when it comes to, you know, actual pieces being, you know, deliberated on is the price of adding a piece. Like, you know, you could throw out a Zach LaVine and a Buddy Hield and Victor Oladipo and all those. But I wonder, though, you know, from your perspective, Drew, could we start to see an unexpected move in play? I mentioned this last week, but you have some attractive veteran pieces on the Grizzlies, like a Tyus Jones, a Jonas Valanciunas, maybe even a Kyle Anderson. You've got these players that are under contract where they could be bargains, and the team acquiring them could have them for multiple playoff campaigns. Do you think that the prices that you're seeing paid for other players, though they're higher level players, do you think that could put one of those veteran pieces in play, if not now, maybe at the trade deadline, you know, earlier than expected? You know, I think that that could make some sense if the Grizzlies found a good deal for either Jones or Valanciunas or maybe Anderson.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, I would totally agree. Especially when you look at Gorgui Dieng, right? Like, a lot is to be made of his big-time expiring contract, right? That doesn't mean that, I mean, we're not certain that even though 2021 free agency looks like it's going to be pretty strong, we're not certain that the Grizzlies are going to be able to land a big-name player in free agency, and that it wouldn't make more sense to just, again, the sort of the same way they did with Justice Winslow, you know, unload that contract, give them to a team that wants a big expiring contract and take somebody back in return. Like, I'm not ruling that out for sure. Like, I think that that's definitely a possibility. And yeah, like you said, with the price, like, we just saw the price for Drew Holiday. If the price is that high and you again are looking at this window, and you want to remain young and find a way to get your current young players to develop into when you think they'll be all-star caliber players, probably 2-3 years down the line, you want all these things to be clicking at once. Yeah, if you wanted to move on from a veteran and take on either more draft assets or young players, I wouldn't be surprised if that move made a lot of sense and the Grizzlies decided to do that. Now, I'm not sure it's going to come this offseason. It could. It absolutely could. But I just think, you know, you're pretty happy with what you got going into year two of Ja Morant right now, and you probably want to see where this team stands now that the West is sort of going to be readjusted a little bit. So it might make more sense to do that closer to the trade deadline, as you mentioned, than it does to do it right now.
And that was the other question that I was going to ask about these trades, is that, you know, we can sit here and talk about, you know, all these creative moves. I know yourself, Chris Harrington, you know, some friends of the show, Matt Herdlicka, you know, the folks over at Grizzly Bear Blues, as well as other places. We could sit here and all day and get creative as possible because we have a creative front office. But do want to get your opinion on, you know, the potential downside of that. You know, as great as creativity is, as great as, you know, you speculated on the future assets that a Tyus Jones or Jonas Valanciunas can get you, there's also value in the continuity that, you know, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. really do like about this team. You know, is there a downside that should be considered in trading these players right now to where, you know, it could have, you know, potentially a negative effect, not necessarily long term, but the continuity seems really to be valued here. And I think that probably plays a part in considering whether or not it's the right time to trade these pieces.
You know, I so much is made of how great the chemistry is on the Grizzlies, right? And I don't want to say it's overvalued, but I almost do want to say, to a degree, like, it is a little bit overvalued. Like, it is great that this team likes each other. Obviously, that makes the season a lot more fun. And as fans, just watching them goof off together and everything, that makes things a lot more fun. But as far as downside, because you're worried you might ruin, you know, I guess the team chemistry or the the makeup of this team right now, I think you really got to think in the future here still. Like, I don't think that you can take that out of the picture and worry about the short term. I think you really got to be thinking long term here, even at this point in their careers. I mean, we're only going into year two of Ja Morant. Like, we all expect he's going to be here a few more years at least. So I would just caution the idea of like, we need to hang on to veterans so that we can maybe make a push to get into the playoffs. I would be thinking about the future all the time. I wouldn't ever take that out of my perspective if I were the Grizzlies front office. And so, yeah, I would be, I guess if you're asking if you should be cautious, I guess I would throw caution to the wind in this point. I'm just trying to get younger and get better and find a roster that has a chance to compete for a championship down the line, and not necessarily, you know, the roster that's going to get you into the playoffs this year. That's what I would have in my focus.
I knew there was a reason, of one of many reasons I like you, Drew, and it's because me and you have the same thought process. I've had that trade NBA machine saved on my phone, coming up with trades all day long. So I'm right there with you, making the trades that make sense for the future. We're going to take a break real quickly, and then when we come back, spend a few minutes talking a bit about free agency. Maybe not that much activity on the Grizzlies, you know, plate this offseason, but still a little bit to talk about. We'll be right back with Drew Hill. We are now just one day, that is right, one day away from the 2020 NBA draft. And though it's been a much longer wait than many had anticipated, it's now finally here. Here at the Locked On Podcast Network, we will have you covered for all the exciting news and action tomorrow night. We will have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It will be the only place you can find Chad Ford, the GOAT of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad, Bradwell Roland of Locked On Hawks, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and get alerts as soon as they go live. Does it ever seem like your day is being blocked by a wall? It could be a physical aspect, it could be a mental aspect. Maybe getting out of bed, you know, studying for a big test, getting ready for a big work project, attacking a new goal in life that you really want to accomplish but are still struggling with the work it'll take to get it done. There's a lot of things that can that provide that potential wall. For me, it's getting back to work after a big lunch bite to eat at lunch. It's hard to overcome those walls at times. Well, one thing I do have in mind that could help you out is Built Go. Built Go is the easy to enjoy 1.5 ounce of workout gel that's the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with collagen protein and is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. It not only keeps you energized, but helps you stay productive as well. And if you go to builtgo.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, if you go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order for Built Go. Let's go. So, Drew, obviously, you know, the best way to describe this week is Monday you could trade them, Wednesday you could draft them, and Friday you can sign them. And, you know, we'll get to the draft in just a second. We talked about the trades, but those two avenues seem to be the much more likely, you know, avenues that the Grizzlies would take in terms of making a trade. But we can also focus on one name that is still, you know, kind of up in the air that we'll likely get, you know, over the next week some certainty on, and that's DeAnthony Melton. Now, you know, from what you've seen, and, you know, kind of is what is out there, it seems like the Grizzlies are certainly, you know, in the market to want to keep Melton. But I will ask, there, you know, now with Shaq Harrison and Chris, for instance, from the Bulls, do you think that there are now other options being out there on the free agency market that could play to the Grizzlies' favor in retaining Melton?
Sure. I definitely think that that's a possibility. If I'm the Grizzlies, I'm trying to hang on to DeAnthony Melton because I know he didn't play particularly well in the bubble. You also have to consider he was kind of moved into a different role, obviously, without Tyus Jones available. And I think that in the long term, you kind of want to see what he can become at this point. And those other players, you mentioned Shaq Harrison, like those other players, like it's not that they couldn't that they can't be the same thing or something similar, and there might be other options out there. I just think if you're the Grizzlies, you're already invested in D'Anthony Melton. You've already seen that he can play well. He's well-liked by his teammates. He seems to be a high-character, high-class type of guy. And so for me, like I'm pretty invested in making sure he stays on the team. And if that means overpaying a little bit, I think you're willing to do that. But also, you're right. Maybe the fact that there are now other options out there will help keep the price down a little bit. I'm not so sure, because I think he played really well and teams are going to notice, like, hey, the guy that we watched in the bubble isn't the same guy that was, you know, a big time contributor in the middle of the season. So if I'm the Grizzlies, I'm trying to hang on to D'Anthony Melton, and I don't know exactly what that's going to cost. I don't think we're going to know yet, but I would be willing to hand over a few more shekels, I guess, because I want to see how he plays out with this team. And I think that he's a guy that works and he fits the bill. We talked about the veterans and being okay with potentially moving on from them. D'Anthony Melton is still very young, is still relatively inexperienced in the league. His ceiling hasn't been touched yet, I don't think. So for me, he's very intriguing, and I'm trying to hold on to him.
Another name that I've talked with you about before, I mentioned it, we talked about it a little bit after the end of the year press conference with Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman. But when it comes to Josh Jackson, I know a little bit's been talked about the Grizzlies maybe being a little limited on what they could do with him. But speaking of that young player who kind of fits the timeline of the Grizzlies a little bit more, it seems like that there may be a bit better chance that the Grizzlies could potentially look to retain him than maybe there was a month or two ago. I know that there was, it certainly is relevant that he didn't really emerge as an option in the bubble, especially with injuries. But do you think it's more likely he probably is going elsewhere, or could, in the right situation, the Grizzlies look him back with his familiarity with the team and also the fact that he did show well when he was a part of the rotation?
Yeah, he did have a good stretch during the season, but I think he's still, for me at least, pretty hard to figure out what they're going to decide to do with him, just because he's been inconsistent at times. And while he's shown flashes of being pretty good, it feels like he's had his chances, right? Like he had a pretty big role with the Suns. He came over here, he did everything that they asked him to do and go down to the G League and wait his turn to come up to the NBA. But to me, he's too big of a question mark. I'm not really sure what you're eventually going to get from him. And I know fans are very interested in Josh Jackson. You could tell by the fact that everybody was begging the Grizzlies to bring him up to the NBA level when he was spending time in the G League. But to me, I had suspected that the Grizzlies would probably move on and try and use, I guess, that money elsewhere. But I still sort of feel that way, as if that is the more likely scenario, is that they probably move on. But if you want to see, he's another guy, like you mentioned, who fits the timeline, who is around the right age for a team like this that's trying to grow together. If you think that he can be a meaningful contributor and is going to be not a headache, but like less of an issue and more of an upside play, then I guess you can try and keep him. But for a guy that was drafted that highly and has really underperformed, I would not be surprised if the Grizzlies just decided that it was time to move on.
And that's another thing that kind of describes the Grizzlies' approach to free agency, in my opinion, this year. Kind of like we talked about before the show, is that the Grizzlies' free agency, due to how full the roster is and how much commitment that they have for the future to this current roster, there's just so many spots you can fill. And, here in a second, I'll talk about a few other names that are intriguing for the Grizzlies to maybe commit to. But it's likely you've got to see, you know, other things happen. You know, maybe a piece or two that's already on the roster, like a Gorgui Dieng, as we mentioned, moved in a trade. I know the Grizzlies have about $15 to $16 million under the luxury tax that, you know, they could play with exceptions included and things like that. But besides Melton, you may have to see other moves occur before the Grizzlies really focus on free agency. You know, your thoughts on that, but as well, if there was a piece out there, not necessarily a name, but do you think it comes down to potentially adding shooting, or is there something else that you could see emerge as a need the Grizzlies could, you know, find on free agency to fill a need on their roster?
Yeah, I guess shooting would be the number one priority. It is interesting though. I want to know what they're going to do in the draft first. I think that could have an impact here, because if the Grizzlies, and we're going to talk about this in just a second when we get in the draft, these second round picks fly around like crazy. I believe there's 19 of them already that have already been traded this year in the second round. So what's the likelihood that the Grizzlies just stick around at pick 40 and take one player? I don't know. Like, I think that they could take no players if they wanted to. But I think that there's a good possibility that they end up moving around in some sort of way. So if they move into the late first round and they take a player who's a shooter, maybe that changes things a little bit. So I'm interested to see what the Grizzlies do in the draft. I mean, there's a few names out there. Like, I know Grizzlies fans were really interested in going after a guy or Grizzlies fans wanted a player like Joe Harris, maybe a guy who could shoot. Well, it doesn't seem like he's going to likely, be on the radar for the Grizzlies. And then there's guys like Jay Crowder who will be a free agent, or, they traded for Justin Holiday a little bit ago. What if they had interest in him again? But I don't think that they're going to be willing to overpay in free agency this year, especially with a stronger free agency coming up next year, or at least that's what we sort of expect. So maybe you just you target a guy who could be there for the mid-level exception, and you just you play, I guess, the long game again here, and you worry about the future in a little bit and not so much right now. So are the Grizzlies going to make any sort of big time splash in free agency? I don't believe so. They don't really have the space to do that, as we've mentioned. But there's a couple guys out there, I guess, that might not be complete head turners, but you could say, oh, well, I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll see some time on the floor and be interesting. But I think you're more invested in your young players right now. So going out and getting a veteran in free agency, to me, just isn't that exciting.
And one last question as far as free agency goes, because the Grizzlies do have a couple of young players towards the end of their bench, but they've got a decision on one of them coming up, and that's Porter on his team option for next year. I believe it's tomorrow on the 19th. And they also have John Concher. A couple of things have been thrown around as maybe multiple-year deals on the minimum. And Jontay Porter really stands out to me as someone that when you look at his production in college, it's not that far off from Brandon Clark. It's not on his level, but I know it's been a few years due to injuries. But there's a reason why the Grizzlies focused on Jontay Porter. They like the style of play, and he fits the preferences that they have. I think that he basically is kind of like another draft pick that you could, you know, really see them, you know, put into the rotation potentially in time. But do you feel that they'll make multiple-year commitments to those guys? And I think that that's a way that they can continue to fill out their bench at good cost, in which they also have the potential to get really good value out of the talents that you've seen with Concher and Porter in the past.
Yes, I think that at this point, you've already, I guess, it's super low risk, right, to bring those two players back, because you know that you're not paying them big money, right? And also their upside plays. What you've seen from John Concher at the NBA level is that he can come in and make a few plays for you, so you don't know what he could eventually become. Could he turn into a guy who could be a role player and see a few minutes on the floor every single game? That would be great if you could get that from John Concher, right? So I think that these are two guys that the Grizzlies have already shown interest in, right? They've already invested in a way. And so they probably just want to see how they're going to shake out. So yeah, if I'm the Grizzlies, I'm bringing back both of those guys. And then the other one, which I'm sure I don't want to jump over your question here, but I'm sure Yuta Watanabe is another guy that potentially they have to make a decision on. He's already 26 years old. He spent some time in the G League. I think it makes probably more sense to use that two-way contract on somebody else And so I would expect they'll probably move on from him. But John Conchar and Jonte Porter, yeah, two guys I think you've already shown interest in, you've already invested in a way, and you probably just want to see how they're going to shake out. So you probably bring both of those guys back.
I agree completely, and I think that it, though the Grizzlies have shown interest in them, they've shown intriguing aspects in the past, and I think that this franchise certainly has shown that they can develop players, so it'll be really interesting to see what occurs. We're going to take our final break, but coming up, I'm going to talk with Drew Hill. We're going to finish up with the draft, talk with him about, you know, what potentially could happen. Could we see something unexpected? Maybe a few names that, you know, sticks out to Drew. He wrote a recent article over at the Daily Memphian that really detailed the Grizzlies' prospects there. We'll be right back to discuss the draft with Drew Hill. All right, Drew, so you kind of hinted at it, and I think it made perfect sense. You know, this draft could, you know, you wouldn't think that it would with a second round pick, but if the Grizzlies sit there and do make a move to get a more premium prospect, it could impact free agency. So we'll just start out right, you know, with the main question. The Grizzlies pick at 40. In your, you know, feeling as far as leading up to tomorrow night's draft, you think they maybe, you know, combine a future asset with this pick to move up, stick where they are, or maybe even come back in the later second round and try to buy another pick and come out with multiple second round picks? Kind of your feeling, you know, leading up to tomorrow night's draft.
Yeah, I would not expect them to do anything to spend any future draft assets unless it was a second round pick. And I believe they have like five. I don't want to misspeak here, but I believe they have five, like within the next 3 years, as far as second round picks go. And as I mentioned, the second round picks fly all over the place every single draft. So I would not be surprised at all if the Grizzlies end up moving around from pick number 40. That could mean that if there's upside plays that they might like, you know, later in the draft that they think could turn eventually into good players, maybe that, maybe you make a move to move backwards a little bit and pick up another pick and add two players. I think there's also the chance that if you were to pair up a pair of two second round picks, this pick and maybe a future, and maybe take on a smaller contract. And I believe that they do still have a small trade exception, the Grizzlies, if they want to use that to take on a little bit more money from a team that is trying to get rid of salary. You could potentially move up into the late first round and take a player. Who knows? I think that both of those things are certainly a possibility. And when you look at the pure number of picks that have been traded in the second round, it's over 50%. So if you ask me if the Grizzlies are only going to pick at 40 on Wednesday night, I would say the chances are probably better that that doesn't happen than it does. And I think that that's at least exciting to think about. Like, hey, it's also a possibility the Grizzlies don't pick at all, I suppose. So nothing is off the table at this point, especially when you only have pick number 40. But I would not be shocked whatsoever if the Grizzlies end up moving around from number 40 and end up with a few different picks or maybe an earlier pick.
And we'll kind of, you know, look at each of those scenarios real quickly. You know, at the 40 pick, you know, if they were to potentially keep that pick for whatever reason, you know, I read the article over the Daily Memphian. There were some names that you mentioned that I also had, you know, looked at here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You know, three names that really seem to be fun that also make sense kind of in that range. You've got Jordan Wara from Louisville, Tyler Bay from Colorado, and Mason Jones from Arkansas. I think that those names, for a lot of different reasons, make the most sense. My personal pick out of those would likely be Bay because I like his defensive projection and also, you know, just the projection in general of the overall value he could be. Wara and Mason Jones are good shooters and bucket getters as well. But that seems to be the type of names that you're thinking. Anybody in that group that stands out or in that area that really attracts you as far as the Grizzlies' way of thinking, you know, if they were to stick with that 40th pick?
Yeah, I think that a lot of this depends on which direction the Grizzlies want to go position-wise. Because if, to me, a name that really – there's really two names that I like if they were to go with a third point guard, and we saw that they were kind of exposed at point guard depth when Tyus went out in the bubble. Outside of the names that you've already mentioned, like Peyton Pritchard, I think is going to be a very good NBA shooter. Like I think that – if you look at his true shooting percentage, which is, I believe, over like 60%, which is really, and true shooting percentage is like just an advanced stat that factors in 2 and 3 point field goals, both. I think that's really impressive. I guess it's more of a telling sign in college, free throw attempts more so than even 3 point percentage, or free throw percentage more so than 3 point percentage. And he's an excellent free throw shooter. And he made 88 of 212 3-point attempts his senior season, which is over 41%. Really impressive. I think there's no doubt that Peyton Pritchard would be a good shooter at the NBA level. Now, can he play defense and guard people? And is he going to be an effective enough distributor at the next level? I think those are important questions. But for me, I think that there's some pretty good upside. And this is a point that Chris Harrington has made, and he made on our podcast, was that sometimes these guards that are All-American guards that are older turn out to be the guys that are a little bit undervalued when you look at the draft. Peyton Pritchard is a player who's an All-American point guard who could potentially be a little bit undervalued in the draft. And then, you know, some of the other names that I hear from Grizzlies fans, like Isaiah Joe, who's another Arkansas player who's down the road. So everybody kind of knows about him. He shot the ball super well from 3-point range as a freshman. And I think his draft stock probably went down a little bit because he didn't shoot the ball quite as well his sophomore season with the Hogs. But he's definitely an intriguing prospect if you're looking to get a shooter or a player on the wing. And Paul Reed is another name you hear a lot, the DePaul forward. And I really like him as well. I think he has a lot of really good tools. He's 21 years old, averaged 15 points and 10 rebounds last season, but he also blocked a lot of shots and got a lot of steals. I think his athleticism is really, really something that could be a difference maker on the next level. He's a little undersized, I guess, for a big, but if you put his athleticism out there, between guys like, you know, Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr., I think you're going to be really versatile and really strong on the defensive end. So he's got some turnover problems too, but I think that all in all, and efficiency, but all in all, I think you would like the tools you can get from him. And even though he's a little bit older of a player, his ceiling has not been reached yet. Because I guess that's the question with some of these older point guards that people try and push is like, okay, how much better are these players going to get? Sam Merrill, who's a 6'5" shooting guard from Utah State, who's as pure of a scorer as they get. I saw Gary Parrish, another local Memphis guy, had the Grizzlies picking him number 40 in his final mock draft. He's an interesting player. Also, there's serious questions as a 24-year-old of how much better he can get between now and, you know, the peak of his NBA career. I don't know the answer to that. So yeah, for me, I think you sort of hit it on the head with Bay and Nwora and Mason Jones, but I would add in guys like that interest me, Peyton Pritchard and Isaiah Joe, as well as Paul Reed. I think that those three guys all could potentially be there at 40. This does not mean that the Grizzlies are going to only select from this group of players. At pick number 40, you really have no idea who's going to be on the board or not. And they could go totally off of the draft, I guess, lists that are out there at pick number 40 because it is so late. But to me, those are definitely the names that I have interest in.
And the other quick question about this, you hit the nail on the head. Peyton Pritchard, I think, would be an excellent pick. I like Joe and Bay out of that group because I think their projection is either a shooter or overall are really, really intriguing. But I think anybody out of that group is a steal potentially at 40. For me, Sam Merrill, I think more of buying a second round pick and picking him later makes some sense because you mentioned the true shooting percentage of Peyton Pritchard. You look at the secondary playmaking and the shooting percent or true shooting percentage of Sam Merrill, it really stands out to show a very, very good shooter. So I'd love to add him. And the other question, though, that I'll ask you is this, is that, you know, a few other names that I think fit bills for the Grizzlies to potentially trade up for in the first if they wanted to. A couple of names, Desmond Bane, though he may now be a little bit too high of a ceiling-type prospect, but Elijah Hughes of Syracuse is another name that I like that may potentially be there early. Is there any name out there that, like, if this guy gets in that 28 to 30 range, you would be like, hey, let's make a move? Is there anybody that stands out for you in that range? I know you mentioned Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman from Michigan State in your recent draft article.
Yeah, Cassius Winston to me, because I think he's such a good pick and roll player that he could potentially be your backup point guard in the future and still has a lot of potential. And he's another guy who's a point guard and an All-American type player who's the type of player who ends up being undervalued oftentimes in the draft. And so he really impressed with his combine numbers, shot 96% on 100 free throw attempts, 70% on the 3-point star drill, which is 20 attempts, and 71% on the endurance 3-point drill. So, and 74% on spot up 3-pointers. Those are all really good numbers and impressive compared to what he did at Michigan State. But I also think he's just an excellent, excellent pick and roll player. And you need that in the NBA, especially with the Grizzlies. And, you know, in that second unit that you're going to do a lot of pick and roll type of action. So to me, Cassius Winston, yeah, if he falls, I'm interested in seeing if I can move up and add him. Malachi Flynn is another player who played at San Diego State, who a lot of people probably aren't that familiar with, who is getting a lot of hype and is being labeled one of the, you know, the risers in this draft. I think if he were to slip a little bit, that he would be really interesting. He's a great two-way player, both offensively and defensively, and was a pretty good passer in college. So if you're looking for, again, a guy, if you end up having to move on from Tyus Jones eventually because of price or for whatever reason, because you get a good offer, maybe he's a guy that would work. And so to me, yeah, those two are interesting. And Desmond Bane, obviously, he's getting all of the hype right now. But I like him as much as everybody else, and I think he's going to be a good player. And so I don't think that it's going to be reasonable for the Grizzlies to make a move up and get him at this point. But that would certainly be fun to see, because I have high expectations for him, just like everybody else.
Well, that's the thing about it, is that's the beauty of having a front office that's creative, a front office that's efficient with its creativity. You know, you never know, even with the pick that's not in the first round, there's still plenty of excitement, you know, going on. And Drew, that I know that you've got plenty of excitement in your world, you know, covering all this. You had a wonderful article out. I was reading it as we were starting this out with the new assistant coach that came from MIT, Sonya Raymond, talking about her really getting into the groove starting off for the season. I encourage, you know, our listeners and your readers to certainly check that out. But other things that you have going on beyond, obviously, you know, keeping everybody in tune and up to date with perspectives about what could happen this week for the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for plugging the Sonya Roman story, because I really, really enjoyed writing that and talking to her yesterday. And she's just a really nice person. And I'll say this is a little inside baseball, but like I accidentally, when I originally posted the story, like messed up one single word that she had told me over the interview. And this is just an indicator of how smart she is. She immediately caught it and was like, hey, and so nice about it. Hey, I think I said this or whatever. And I believe it was like place or peace. Like it was just two words that were just so close, but she was absolutely right. The fact that she had remembered that from a 25-minute conversation and also was able to spot it out and do that, to me, just the attention to detail that shows me right away, all right, this woman is super smart and knows her stuff outside of basketball too. And so, yeah, she's fantastic. She couldn't be any nicer. Brand new to Memphis, so I got to talk to her about experiencing all of the Memphis things, going to see the Peabody Ducks and biking the Green Line at Shelby Farms Park and doing all these different things. And we talked about sort of the irony of, she's here, she's getting all the quintessential Memphis experiences, but the very last one she's going to probably get to experience is a true Grizzlies game day, because there's going to be limited capacity at all these games. So I would really encourage people to go read that. It's one of my favorite Grizzlies things I've written in a while. because we have all these Zoom limitations, you know, it's hard to really connect with people now. But I would encourage you to read that. And I'm also going to post tomorrow morning on Wednesday. We're recording this on Tuesday. So tomorrow morning on Wednesday, I will post a final draft preview with a roundup of all the mock drafts and some thoughts on different players and the idea of the Grizzlies trading. And then outside of that, I would just stay tuned for all the free agency stuff. And I'm sure I'll be back with you, Sean, pretty soon, because we're going to have a lot of Grizzlies news over the next few weeks. So I'm excited to get to it.
As always, it's a pleasure to always talk with you. Your enthusiasm as well as your insight is wonderful. And like I say, you know, if you have not checked out the Daily Memphian lately, you know, Drew is consistently there. It's not just about, you know, hey, here's what the Grizzlies did. It's what they could do. A lot of insight about plenty of different things. He's talked about the Tigers, obviously, you know, his recent interview. Check it out. A lot of good stuff from Drew Hill. For Drew Hill, my name is Sean Coleman. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC. You can find podcasts at your Spotify, the podcast app on your phone. Drew is right. We will make sure to have him back, you know, probably here in a few weeks as the season gets started. But for Drew Hill, thank you so much again, Drew. If you'll stick with us for just a second, my name is Sean Coleman. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.